And next, we're going to go to, we've been talking about today about what a virus is and how to keep one off your computer. But who writes these things? Are they maniacal and malicious? Not necessarily, according to yesterday's cover story in the New York Times magazine, The Virus Underground. I'd like to introduce my guest, Clive Thompson. He writes about science and technology for the New York Times, and he wrote the article in yesterday's cover story. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
What's up with these people? Who are writing this this kind of viral software program?
Well, they tend to be mostly to be young, very intelligent, and very bored young guys. And as you can imagine, that's a kind of an explosive combination. So what happens is they get online, and they're often in very remote parts of the world where there's not much going on if you're a young guy. And they stumble across the virus scene, which is, you know, essentially hundreds, maybe even thousands of people worldwide, young guys, all trying to, you know, produce really interesting, they regard it as interesting, viruses to see who can do the coolest stuff. And then the sort of, in a way, the competition becomes almost, you know, who can produce something that will be most admired and respected by their peers, as it were.
Okay, I need to remind people that they're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So, what kinds of people are they? If they're doing it for the intellectual thrill, are they also doing something that's illegal?
Well, this is the paradox. This is a problem for us, for the users, is that it actually isn't illegal to write a virus. It's only illegal to spread it, to send it to someone and start it running. Writing a virus is just like writing any other piece of software, and that's certainly in the U.S., that's probably protected by free speech. So you can't really, the FBI and CIA or whatever, they cannot actually go and arrest someone for merely writing a virus. What happens is it becomes illegal when someone sends it to a victim. And so what you get in the virus world is sort of a division between the people that write them and the people that spread them. The guys that write them claim to, and I think with some believability, not spread them, because they're smart enough to know that they'd get caught by the police if they did that. But they do publish them openly. They just leave them on their websites, and they say, you know, here's the code. You know, anyone wants to download it to look at it. Well, if someone downloads it, they can also start it running. And there's a lot of, you know, pranksters and mischief makers or out-and-out criminals who will use that code for nefarious purposes.
So in other words, these guys that people know are writing this code, I mean, the police know who they are, you know who they are, everybody knows who they are, but they're not responsible because they're just the ones that wrote the speech or made the gun and somebody else pulled the trigger, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. Those are the ones that are reasonably well known. There are definitely virus writers who do release their own stuff. They're a subcategory. There's not as many of them, obviously, because they're probably worried about getting caught. But when they exist, they tend to be in countries abroad where the laws and the police aren't quite as vigilant. The U.S. is really the most vigilant country in terms of prosecuting cyber criminals. So there are definitely some guys. I mean, I spoke to some guys from Malaysia and other countries, and they bragged about releasing their own viruses. There's also criminals. Some of the big viruses that we've been hit with in the last year, like So Big, seem to be the police suspect, written by criminals specifically to harvest financial data or to send spam from the victims' computers.
Yeah, it was interesting in your article the way you describe what amounts to, I think, a code of ethics among the code writers, where there's, you know, they sort of sniff at people who would actually release these things. They just like the intellectual delight of having written them.
Yeah, it's puzzling at first because, you know, I would run into these guys I would go, you know, so how many of you release? And they go, well, none of them. And you sort of stop for a second. Well, why would you write these things if you're not going to release them? And it turns out that, you know, I think in an ideal world from a virus writer's perspective, they probably would release some of them, just because I think some of them would be interested to see how they'd spread. But like I said, the ones that are smart enough to write them tend to be smart enough to know they'd get busted, or they could probably get caught. But you know, some of them, you know, are oddly sort of public-minded about it. They, when they write a new virus code, they'll send it to the virus companies, antivirus companies, saying, here's what I've done, I want you to know that it exists so you can defend against it. They regard themselves almost as sort of part of the immune system of the internet. exploring the vulnerabilities and alerting the authorities to them.
But they tend not to be quite so kindly toward Microsoft.
No, Microsoft tends to get a lot of a disproportionate amount of attacks from virus writers, partly because it's like the attacking the biggest dog thing. Microsoft also is the most successful company writing software. They have the, you know, almost everyone uses their email programs to send email. So if you're going to write a worm that spreads with email, you know, it makes sense to sort of, you know, target Microsoft because it'll spread the widest. So Microsoft tends to get a lot of heat from these guys, and that's one of the reasons why Microsoft has launched a $5 million bounty fund to pay for information that leads to the arrest of anyone who has spread one of these really big super spreaders the last year.
Well, there's a challenge to our listeners, but I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thanks, Clive Thompson, for joining us in the New York Bureau of NPR. He wrote yesterday's New York Times Magazine cover story, The Virus Underground. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca, and this is NPR News.